Here we go. Question number one. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. How the mahr has to be paid? Does the groom need to ask the bride how much mahr does she expect to get? Is this an authentic sunnah? Who are all have to fix the mahr amount or the like? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyin Muhammad. The the groom does not ask the lady what she expects. We don't know of this being part of the sunnah. And between you and me, this doesn't even, it doesn't really sound right either. Yani, culturally speaking, it is inappropriate as well. How much do you expect? You know, it's going to be like very, very, very undiplomatic. It may ruin the whole marriage, as per my understanding. So, you know, the scholars say the mahr, I mean, the sunnah is that the mahr should be something little and affordable. And usually it has to do with the urf, meaning what is commonly practiced in your locality, what is usually given by a man of your caliber to a woman of her caliber, then you try to meet these same requirements. Otherwise, if you're able to go for the low price, because that's what the sunnah teaches, the Prophet ﷺ got married and got his daughters married for what would be equivalent to a few dollars today. So, if you're able to do that, barakallahu feek. If not, then go with whatever the community expects. But don't go against the sunnah by having the woman give you the mahr as opposed to the man giving it to the wife, or other traditions which some Muslims are practicing and they got them from the Hindus and other religions. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, tabarakallah. I'm a single lady working in Mecca, KSA. Alhamdulillah, my question is, this year can I perform Hajj together with my fellow single female work colleague? Although one of them is not. One of them is not. She will go with her husband. Will it be valid, inshallah? I really want to perform Hajj now that I'm here. It is too expensive to have my younger brother come here to perform it with me. Do you have a better idea what I can do? Yes, let me give you some good news, sister. What the scholars mention as the condition for the mahram, meaning the condition of having a mahram for a woman to perform Hajj, is because of the travel associated with Hajj, not because of Hajj itself. Meaning, if a woman lives in the States or in Canada or England or whatever, and she wanted to perform Hajj, we say to her, unless you have a mahram who can travel with you, you cannot perform Hajj. But if you're already in Mecca, then you don't need a mahram for Hajj. Meaning Hajj itself does not require a mahram. Traveling for Hajj is what requires a mahram. Subsequently, you may perform Hajj in a manner which you have mentioned, and you do not need to have a mahram with you. Alhamdulillah. But I would avoid being with that lady who has her husband with her. I would avoid being with that lady who has that husband with her. Instead, go on your own with the other ladies. But don't go with the woman who has a man, because it's not really appropriate, and it may create a conflict for him because he has to lower his gaze and the whole time, and it may make things difficult for him to have you in his company. So out of consideration for the brother, I advise you to go with the other ladies who should also be living in Mecca, and avoid going with the sister who has a husband with her, because you don't need him. You really don't need him. Wallahu a'lam. Ahlan wa sahlan. Salamu alaykum wa alaykum salam. If we recite Fatiha before the imam during the Jahr Rak'at, don't we fall into preceding the imam in speech action? No, we don't. because that aspect of the salah is not included in racing or preceding the imam. It is concerning takbirat al-ihram, making ruku' before him, getting up from ruku' before him, making sujood before him, getting up from sujood before him, making taslim before him. These are the areas where you can precede the imam. The things which you say with your tongue is not included in that. This is why you can make ruku' and the imam will make ruku', then you will make ruku'. And maybe his mind is gone. Does that mean you don't say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim? No, so even if it is in jahr, salah akhi, this is not included in that. You may recite the Fatiha before him, barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaykum wa alaykum salam. May Allah reward you. Ameen. Does wudu break due to eating cooked food, and can you explain the right way of wudu? No, the wudu is not broken if you eat cooked food, but the wudu is broken if you eat camel meat. If you eat camel meat, then according to one of the opinions of the ulama, you have to renew your wudu. How to make wudu? It's very simple. You begin by saying Bismillah, then you wash your hands 3 times, making sure that water goes all the way to the wrist, covering your wrist. Then you put water with you in the right hand. Then you don't drink some. You put some in your mouth, and the rest you inhale with your nose, then you blow it out with the left hand, and you spit out the water 3 times. Like that. Then you wash your hand, your face 3 times, making sure that you get the whole area wet, including the beard, and here, and you know, make sure your eyes, your eyebrows, everything get wet, from the hairline, to the ears, to the side of the face here, to the chin. Then you put water in your right arm and you wash your right arm until the elbow, going back from the opposite direction, making sure water goes everywhere 3 times. Make sure there are no dry spots. Then you do the same thing with the left hand. Then you get some water and a little bit of water. You go like this from the beginning to the back of the head, then back the other direction. Then with the same water, you go to your ears and you get your ears wet, you know, inside and out and everything. And then you wash your right foot first by putting your pinky finger between your toes, and you wash it 3 times to the ankle. Then you wash the left foot, and you've done your wudu, inshallah, according to the sunnah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kindly explain the ruling on women about traveling for work. Is it haram? In what cases can a woman travel, and what are the limits if she does so? Also, can you dedicate a special lecture about it, inshallah? I encountered varied answers, but it's so I try to go back to the Quran and Sunnah. Are there differences of opinion about it? What is the strongest and the most sound fatwa we can rely on upon it, inshallah? I've actually addressed this issue in many of my lectures. Dedicating a whole lecture is not really feasible, because it doesn't require that much elaboration, honestly. And I've already spoken about this in a number of lectures, and I think one of them is this sister going to Jannah, and other lectures as well. The bottom line is that a sister is not allowed to travel without a mahram, period. Whether it is for work, or for other than work, or for whatever the reason may be, she may not travel without a mahram, period. What would be an exception is if there's an emergency, and then because of that emergency she's forced to travel, in which case the scholar will give her a particular, specific, exclusive fatwa to her that she may travel because that circumstance requires her to travel. Otherwise, no woman may travel without a mahram. And that is the strongest and most popular opinion. The other one is very unpopular, if I may say, and it is not as strong, and Allah knows best. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Brother, can we give laptop as mahr? You can give a calculator. You can give a calculator as a mahr. If that's fine with them, sure. Yeah, why not? The Prophet ﷺ told the man, "Iltamis walau khataman min hadid." He said, "Fetch for something, even if it's an iron ring. If the only thing you find is an iron ring to pay it as mahr, let it be, provided that the people accept it. No problem, chief." What is the ruling on wearing and praying in t-shirts which contain some logos of animate beings but the picture is incomplete? Crocodile without eyes, nose. That shouldn't be worn. That shouldn't be worn. What is the validity of the salah? Allahu alam. But if you mean the Lacoste logo, then that usually does have the eyes and the nose, unless you're speaking of another crocodile. But that should be avoided totally. I wish to travel to work in Saudi Arabia. Is it possible to take two wives there, since one would not be legally recognized by the USA? I think the only place in the world where you can bring two wives with you and have them legally under your authority is Saudi Arabia. It is totally acceptable that you bring four wives with you, and all of them will be legitimately your wives here. You will have zero issues. In America, they may not recognize the second one as a wife. Here, they will recognize her as a wife and a half. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Is there any advice you can give to someone who needs to study Arabic but sadly in the West? Barakallah feek. Yes. Find some online classes. Look for the alternative. But don't you stop. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Wa alaikum salam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Why do Sufis kiss their imam's feet in the masjid? They say it's from the sunnah and the companions did so, but I've never seen the reference. Could you please explain? The Sufis are the Sufis. You usually don't ask why they do what they do, because they do whatever they do without any references. And they may get an athar or a text which is referred back to the Prophet ﷺ and reinterpreted and misinterpreted a million times so they can continue to follow their desires. So you ignore them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can a woman be an Islamic speaker? Yes, to other women. To other women, not to men. Salaam alaikum wa alaikum salam. What is the ruling on wearing shoes in ihram? My dad is going for Hajj this year, inshallah, and he wants to know if we can wear sandals with rubber soles and Velcro straps over the toes around the ankles. Yes, you can. Akhi, explain to your father that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking of when he said, "La talbisul makhit," do not wear sewed clothes. What is intended by that is fitting clothes, like a t-shirt, pants, or anything which fits your body, anything which you have to put on, like whether from the bottom or the top. It doesn't mean any stitched clothes is not allowed. It doesn't mean that something with Velcro or some straps on the shoes, or anything which has a sewing in it, it doesn't mean that that is not okay. That is totally fine. What is intended, you don't wear clothes which you put on. as in t-shirt, undershirt, underwear, pants, and the likes. Taub, anything which fits your body. But sandals, shoes, whatever you want, all of it is fine, insha'Allah ta'ala. There's a certain sheikh whom I used to listen to, but recently I found a couple of his viewpoints slightly bizarre. What advice do you have about finding reliable sheikh speakers? How can I be sure? Well, that is a very complicated issue indeed. And if you have knowledge, then you can listen. If you identify any issues, then you leave that person alone. Or you find someone whom the people of knowledge have given, a tazkiyah, they've mentioned him and praised him in a particular sense, then that's another option. But usually, the fear of Allah and the taqwa of Allah is the ultimate source of distinction. Allah says, طبعاً وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whosoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for him and will provide him from places he does not expect. And another ayah Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Oh, you have believed, if you have taqwa of Allah, He will give you the criterion, the ability to make a distinction between truth and falsehood. So you be careful, inshallah. You don't listen to every Tom, Dick and Harry, but you don't run away from every speaker because someone has said something about him or because he made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. It depends on what these bizarre points or you found are. Now, is an ayah of the Quran as a gift of the bride suffice as mahr? For example, I presented to Surah Al-Rum, verse 30 or 31, not sure. I don't understand the question. What is the right way of praying 3 rak'ats of witr salah? 2 by 1. 2 by 1, meaning 2 taslim, then 1, or 3 together without sitting in the second rak'ah, like you would do in Maghrib. So you combine all 3 together with the 1 taslim at the end. 1 jalsa, 1 taslim at the end. Wallahu alam. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Alaikum salam. My question is, I have been talking about region, or you probably mean religion. I've been talking about religion and our belief system with my Christian friend. And obviously, we have different opinion about Jesus Christ. She quoted this below verse from Old Testament and said, this is the proof that Jesus is God, which was foretold in Old Testament. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Can you explain this verse? Well, I am not a biblical scholar to explain a biblical verse, but I'll tell you something. Where does it suggest that Jesus is God? The statement Mighty God? طيب. Listen to me, Habibi. According to the Bible, you tell this person to go back to the same Old Testament and read how God, according to them, told Moses, that you are a God to Pharaoh. You are a God to Pharaoh. So if that is the case, and let me give you the reference for that, that's Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Okay, let me write it for you here. Exodus 7, 1. Okay, the verse says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh." So according to them, either both Jesus and Moses were gods, or that means that when Jesus is called God here, it is just like when Moses is called God, not God in that ultimate sense. You see what I'm saying? So you present to him Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. Then you tell them, we have many biblical verses in the Old Testament where God said, "There's none but me, I'm the only God, there's none but me," and all this stuff. So how do they explain that? One time God says there's none but him, the next time he says there's another God with him. Tell them this is contradiction, and this is why we Muslims believe that the Bible, which Christians have today, is not from Allah as it is today, because of all these discrepancies and contradictions. Sometimes God says that he's the only one, and next time he says that he has a son and he's a God as well. Next time he tells Moses, you're a God to Pharaoh. So this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Now, and I hope that you're not a brother. I hope you're not a brother giving da'wah to a Christian friend, female. To a female Christian friend. That is inappropriate. She is neither your friend, nor are you supposed to be giving da'wah to her in this sense. You should find a female to do that job on your behalf. Because what begins with da'wah usually ends up with love. Just for your information. Salaam alaikum wa alaikum salam. A sister is twice divorced, both reverts, and now has an offer of marriage from a born Muslim, but her family is against the third marriage. What should she do? Should she turn down the proposal? It depends. Why are they rejecting him? If they have a valid reason for rejection, Islamic reason, then she has to obey them. If they don't have a valid Islamic reason, then she has to weigh it out. Is it worth it that she goes against her parents for that marriage, or can she be patient and wait for someone else? You know, many things have to be figured out first before a solution is arrived to. Alhamdulillah. Salaam alaikum wa alaikum salaam. May Allah reward you, and may Allah reward you with goodness. Some brothers at university were discussing how to make a service which can help brothers at uni and sisters get married easy. Is there any way this could be done in a halal way? Hey, off. Wallahi, these issues are very complicated, man. I don't know. All I know is that the shaitan is always fetching and you know, building and making his nest right there in these areas of you know, the female and male relationship. This is where he catches people tripping often, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "I have not left a fitna which is greater and more harmful upon men than women." So this is a major issue. What is the halal way? The halal way is that you know, the parents get involved. Meaning there will be like a database of these families with minor description of the person, and if the other party is interested, they will contact her parents automatically. They do not go through the sister, they do not speak to her in the beginning, and she does not get involved at all. They have to go straight to the parents. Now, that is the only halal way which I know of. Wallahu alam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it authentic to recite Surah Mulk every night before sleeping, and does this protect you from the punishment of the grave? Yes, this is according to the authentic tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is authentic. Reciting Surah Al-Mulk before you sleep is according to an authentic narration. Go ahead and do it. Barakallahu feek wa zadakallahu ilman wa amalan. Salaam alaikum, brother, wa alaikum salam. What is the ruling on engagement? It's fine. Engagement is acceptable in Islam. Salaam alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Can I pray salah while I use alcohol containing perfume to dress? Some of the ulama say no, and some of them say it has to do with the amount of alcohol in that perfume. Meaning, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, if the amount of alcohol in the perfume is very high, then you should not use it. Whereas if it is not very high, then you may use it and there's no harm upon you whatsoever. That's the fatwa of the Shaykh, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. The hadith in Sahih Muslim that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not allowed for wearing rings in forefinger and middle finger. It's for only men or women also. Allahu alam. Allahu ta'ala alam. I don't know. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. If you're in the bathroom performing wudu, how to say Bismillah? Do you say it only by intending only or pronounce it but without voice? You pronounce it without voice. You say it in your heart. You say it with your heart. Not pronounce it without voice. You say it in your heart. And if you can make, you know, that's enough. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Wa alaikum salam. I heard a hadith where it's mentioned not to greet the Jews and Christians and make them walk on the narrow side of the path road. Is this authentic? If so, in what context do we use this? Yes, this is authentic, Habibi. And what the hadith is saying is that you do not initiate the Jews and the Christians with the salam, meaning you don't say to them, As-salamu alaykum. Now, the hadith specifically says salam. لا تبدأ اليهود والنصارى بالسلام. Good morning, good afternoon, hey, how's it going, what up, what's up, what's cooking? All of these are not part of the salam. And you may use them while seeing the Jews and the Christians as means of da'wah so you can show them the kindness and the gentleness that you're upon, barakallahu feek. As for the issue of making them walk on the narrow side of the path, this is valid. As in, if we were Muslims walking and some Jews or Christians were coming our way, then we do, or the other way around, we are not the ones who go away to make room for them. They have to go away to make room for us, because Allah says وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and to Allah belongs the might, honor and dignity, and to His messenger and to the believers. Because of that dignity and the might and the honor which Allah bless us with, we do not belittle ourselves before those whom Allah has degraded and disgraced. That's why, my brother, barakallahu fi. Salamu alaykum wa alaykum salam. If you enter Friday prayers after the adhan and the angels sit already, is it as you have missed it? What if you enter three times in a row after the adhan? The hadith says that once the imam sits on the minbar, then the angels, not the angels sit down, the angels will close their books, the books of records wherein they write down the number, the names of people who came. Once that is done, yes, you have missed the reward of Jumu'ah, of the Jumu'ah. Your salah is valid, but you have missed the reward because you're not written as someone who had made it. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Are we allowed to wish someone happy birthday? No. 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 N-O. Because there's no such thing as a happy birthday. There's an innovative birthday. There's a wicked birthday. There's a pagan birthday. There's a Christian birthday. But there isn't a Muslim happy birthday. Because we don't celebrate birthdays, because it is not from the way of a Muslim to celebrate a birthday. And when you say to someone, happy birthday, there's something missing in the sentence. What the sentence really means is, I wish you a happy birthday. I wish you a happy birthday. In other words, you're making dua for this person. You're hoping that they're granted a happy birthday. So you're making dua to Allah to give someone a happy birthday, even though they're doing something which Allah did not legislate. So you're really falling into a major error by saying that subsequently you neither celebrate birthdays, nor do you say happy birthday to someone who's doing it, and you advise them not to do it anymore. Life goes on without birthdays. Look at us, alhamdulillah, we drink tea, and we lead, alhamdulillah, a decent life by Allah's grace, and we don't celebrate birthdays, nothing bad happened to us. We still get toys and gifts from people. Alhamdulillah. Doesn't have to be on a birthday, and you can save the cake. Tayyib. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. I used to be the muazzin for Friday prayers, but stopped due to need to do few innovations. You needed to do few innovations? Or because they forced you to do few innovations? Now, look, akhi, I read this question earlier. Habibi, you can call two adhan. It is fine if two adhans are called. It is fine if two adhans are called. There is no problem in that at all. Barakallahu feek. Go ahead and do it. No problem. Can we say salam to non-Muslims? No. You don't say salam because it's a dua. When you say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, may the peace of Allah and his mercy and his blessings be upon you. These are the same one. You're saying this to someone whom Allah told you about in the Quran, ulaika hum sharrul bariyah. Those are the worst of creation. So how are you going to ask Allah to send His mercy and His blessings and His peace upon someone who Allah told you is the worst of creation for him? That's asking Allah for something horrible. You're not allowed to say to them assalamu alaikum at all. Hey, don't worry, life goes on. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was from Singapore, but then I stayed in Yanbu for 6 years and I don't stay at Singapore anymore. Now I'm back in Singapore for vacation. Am I considered a traveler and can I pray Madhur, Nasr, Maghrib and Isha? Jazakallah khair. I love you for Allah's sake. May the one whom you love me for love you. No, Habibi, you cannot pray Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha combined. After the third or the fourth day of your residence, then you pray the regular salawat. And even on the first or second day, if you're no longer in a state of travel and there's no hardship, you're not allowed to combine prayers. You're allowed to shorten the prayers, but not combine them. And then again, if you hear the adhan, then you're supposed to pray in the jama'ah. And if you pray in the jama'ah, you have to go with the imam. So even the shortening of the prayer, you're no longer doing. So just keep praying in the masjid, barakallahu feek, and pray the complete salah and do not combine anything. Assalamu alaikum salam. Should we watch the Deen show? Can you tell whether Tahir al-Qadri should be listened to as thousands listen to him and follow him in Pakistan? He always bashes Wahhabis and all sects. Is there a fatwa against him? The Deen show is fine, but it depends on who they bring on the Deen show, A. And when they play this silly nasheed in the beginning, mute it. Yani the show begins with this very badly performed nasheed, which is really music and singing in the name of nasheed, that you're not allowed to listen to. And any time they play it in the middle of their show, you're again not allowed to listen to it either. Okay, that is concerning the nasheed which is found on the Deen show. As for the Deen show itself, then it depends on the speaker. If the speaker is someone who's sound, then you can listen. If it's someone who's not, then you don't. As for Tahir al-Qadri, he's a wicked, evil person, who lies and fabricates against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're not allowed to listen to him at all, and no, he's not Shaykh al-Islam. And inshallah ta'ala, because of this extreme danger that he has created in the ummah, I will be delivering a lecture inshallah specifically dedicated to him, wherein I expose his lies and fabrications bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, and warn the Muslims against them. Not because we like to do this or because it's a hobby to do it, but because there are individuals who require of you to do this as part of the amanah which the people of da'wah are entrusted with. And we cannot. The deenu nasiha, we're supposed to advise, sincerely advise all Muslims. And if someone is going to lead them astray into Jahannam, it must be made reference to, and it must be mentioned and clarified for the people. And since the issue is that of English language, then the people of who speak English are supposed to address it, as the ulama usually may not be aware or may not have the time, or no one may present to him or to them his translation and what have you. I'm speaking about Tahir al-Qadri. You need to know his name, because this is not someone who from Ahl al-Sunnah and has some issues. We usually don't like to mention names, but that person in particular has to be mentioned for our brothers in Pakistan to remain upon the deen. Na'am. Wallahu alam. Ma'alish. Salaamu alaykum Shaykh. Wa alaykum salam. I'm not a Shaykh. I've heard many different reports, so I'm not sure what is correct. Do women have to cover their feet? I have read the lead that we do, but two Shaykh told me I don't have to, so I'm quite confused. Don't be confused, you have to cover your feet. You have to cover your feet in Salah, and you have to cover your feet outside Salah. The feet of the woman are part of her awrah. The evidence for that is the hadith of Umm Salama, which is authentic, where the Prophet ﷺ was speaking about the men who drag their lower garments beneath their ankles. Upon that, Umm Salama said, O Messenger of Allah, what about the women? He said, as for the women, then they raise it and a hand's width. She said, O Messenger of Allah, but their feet will be exposed. He said, no, she drags it a hand width. She said, she thought that the women also keep it above the ankles. So she told the Messenger of Allah, what about the women? He said, they lengthen it a handspan. She said, but their feet will be exposed. He said, then let them drag it and extend it beneath the ankles in arm's length. An arm's length. So the justification, the reason that Umm Salama radiallahu anha mentioned to the Prophet ﷺ was that if she keeps her pants above the ankles, or even if she lowers it a hand's width, the feet will be exposed. Upon that, the Prophet ﷺ said, then lengthen it even more. Meaning he was telling them to do whatever it takes to make sure that their feet are not exposed. And in case you don't know, in the world there's something called foot fetish. Okay? Many, many, many men are obsessed with feet. It's something crazy. But it is true, because the feet of the women are, you know, they're it's part of her beauty or otherwise. So the feet should be covered. The feet should be covered. Barakallahu feekum. Na'am. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. A seller sells his product and entices with a bonus for the first 100 customers. Is this gambling? If it is, does the buyer have to give away the bonus and just keep the main product he paid for? Why would that be gambling? Allahu alam. From my understanding, it's fine. Unless there's something missing in this transaction, I don't know. Where I live, people hire others to recite the Quran in their house, thinking that this will give them reward, whereas they may or may not be reciting Quran themselves at any time. Is this bid'ah, or will they get any reward for this? This is a bid'ah. If you recite the Quran for yourself. You don't bring someone to recite it for you. And that's fine. If they wish to listen to the Quran, if the intent is that, you know, they want to listen to the Quran attentively, then this is fine. But to make it, you know, like a common practice where they hire people and these people come and then they pay them money, and this is a major issue. When you say hire, that means that they're paying them money. This is not permissible. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Wa alaikum salam. Are we allowed to break the rules of culture, or are we advised to stick to the culture and traditions, which is better? You're not supposed to break the rules of the culture unless they contradict the Islamic legislative teachings. So if the culture and the tradition goes against the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are obliged to violate them and go with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they don't, however, then you do not go against your people and you do not stand out in the community. If a woman has no mahram and she wants to seek knowledge abroad such as Saudi Arabia, can she travel without mahram? No, she cannot. She finds someone who will drop her off and then leave her and return, that's fine. If she's in a safe place to live, that's fine. But to go on her own, no. Alhamdulillah, there's distance learning. If she's really that keen on seeking knowledge, the sister can do it from abroad, through distance learning. Doesn't have to come in person. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. I have a charge card which I do not pay any fees. However, if I make purchases, I get rebates from them. Are these rebates okay to take? I don't know. Allahu alam. I'm not well versed in issues of transactions and buying and selling. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is the ruling on replacing missed salah with valid reasons? Must we replace following the chronological arrangement of the salah? What about if asr is missed for a valid reason? How is it replaced, before or after maghrib? You have to do it before maghrib. You cannot perform a prayer which is supposed to come first after the following prayer. They must be done in time in according to the way and the regular arrangement of salawat. So if you miss dhuhr and then it's asr time, you must pray dhuhr before you pray asr. You cannot pray asr then pray dhuhr, and so on and so forth. Na'am. Can you please give the meaning of these Arabic words often used? MashaAllah means whatever Allah wills. Whatever Allah wills. And is usually used as an expression of amazement or being content by seeing something or because of seeing something. For example, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ إِنْ تَرَنِ أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Had you, when you entered your garden, said, whatever Allah will, there's no power except one given by Allah. So he was saying, when you saw something which pleased you, you should have said, MashaAllah. So that's when you say, MashaAllah. Like someone gives you good news, say, oh, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah. Alhamdulillah meaning all praise is due to Allah. And you say it whenever something makes you happy. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if any good news came to him, he used to say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي بِنِعْمَتِهِ تَتُمُّ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And if something displeasing happened, he used to say, Alhamdulillah, على كل حال. جزاك الله خيرا means may Allah reward you with goodness. May Allah reward you with goodness. May Allah reward you with goodness. Jazakallahu khaira. So I will repeat, MashaAllah means whatever Allah wills. Alhamdulillah means all praise is due to Allah. And Jazakallahu khaira means may Allah reward you with goodness. I hope that answers your question. That was one of the loveliest questions I've received in many, I don't know what, in many minutes. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. If a woman dresses indecently in public, and some sisters backbite about the way she dresses, does the former share a part of the sin as she provoked them to backbite? Allahu alam. Allahu alam. Allah knows best. I don't know. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can a woman read the Quran from an iPod, iPhone, or BlackBerry when she's menstruating? Yes. Oh, when she's menstruating. No, she cannot. No, she cannot. Some of the ulama say unless she's memorizing something and she's afraid she will forget it, in which case she may do that. That's according to some of the ulama. Wallahu alam. Salaam alaikum alaikum salam. The 15th of Sha'ban is coming, whereby a lot of people believe we have to fast. I recently heard we shouldn't. Ya akhi, what's the ruling? Ya akhi, the ruling is that you shouldn't. Barakallahu fi. It is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there isn't an authentic narration which tells you anything about fasting. Assalamu alaikum alaikum salam. Can a man marry two or three women without any reason, and his first wife is healthy and normal in every condition? Should he ask permission from the first wife before doing so? He can marry two or three or four, and he doesn't have to have a reason. Because Allah says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً. So marry whatever is pleasing to you of women, two or three or four. But if you're afraid that you cannot be just, then marry only one. So, if a man is able to be just with all of them, he's financially able, physically able, psychologically able, sure, he can do it and he doesn't have to inform his first wife, even though it is wise that he does so, because usually when she finds out, she's not going to be the happiest woman in the world. So out of consideration, he should avoid doing that behind her back. But it is not a condition that she knows or that she approves. Yet it is not wise to do so. Can you ask for other people's help, or does it negate complete reliance on Allah? Oh, I mean, it doesn't negate. It doesn't negate it. The more you are independent, the better. But you can ask for other people's help. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah, alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. What advice you should give to practicing sisters, inshallah, who unfortunately have to go to Western University due to pressure from family? I have to say, Allah al-musta'an. Allah al-musta'an. If that entails mixing with men, that's a calamity, wallah. That's a calamity. I don't know what to tell you. May Allah make it easy and get you out of that situation. And if you can't avoid it for whatever reason, after striving to avoid it, like I said, alhamdulillah, distance learning is an option. I don't know why people are so reluctant to get involved in it. It's even easier. It's easier. You study at home, you relax, you chill out, you take the exam, and you take your degree. Why don't people just do distance learning? Just educate yourself from long distance through the same universities. All of them have a branch for distance learning. That's a very practical solution. And tell this to the parents. Say, please, have mercy on me. You want me to learn? Fine. Can I just learn from home? I don't want to go and mix with men. You know, this is your right. Where is the fear of Allah? Ajib. In the Quran, Allah says that when people are mocking Islam, you leave them and say salam. So isn't it allowed in these instances? The ayah doesn't say salam. The ayah does not say salam to them. There are two ayat in reference to the people mocking the deen. And Allah says, فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. So do not remain with them. إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلُهُمْ. Then you are like them. But Allah doesn't say to say salam to them. I don't know where the ayah says salam. Well, we only have 6 minutes, guys, for the questions. If you sure does quote the ayah, akhi. The ayat about mocking Allah and His deen is in two different ayat in the book of Allah. I know them. And neither one of them says salam. If you refer to another ayah, then it may be, but it's not mocking Islam as far as I know. Speaking about the ignorant people, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Then it doesn't mean here that you say salam to them. It means you say something which will give you peace, as in it will not involve you in sin. Naam. But quote the ayah, barakallah feek. If you are in the plane and perform Fajr prayer in sitting position, because there was no other way to stand, do I have to repeat the prayer Fajr after plane lands? No. If the time of Fajr was going to go out, if the time of Fajr was going to go out, and you prayed in this fashion, then your salah is valid. If it wasn't going to go out, then you wait until you land, then you pray. If you prayed before you landed, and you landed, there was still time for Fajr before the sun had risen, then you have to repeat the salah. Now, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Can we use leather made of pigs? Since the food prohibited for eating is... The leather is prohibited. Whatever is prohibited to be eaten is prohibited to be used. Their skin is prohibited as well. So you cannot use leather made of pigs. Or anything else which is not edible. Should a divorced woman remain unmarried for the sake of bringing up her kids? Or should she seek a spouse to avoid fitna of being single? It depends. It depends on the woman. It depends on what she can handle. It depends on her. She knows herself. If she knows that she will fall and she's weak, then she should get married. If she can hang in there, then she can hang in there. I mean, Allahu A'lam, she has to do istikhara. She decides on one of them and she does istikhara, and Allah will guide her to what is best for her, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. What is the Islamic ruling on contraception for men and women in Islam? The scholars have differed on this issue, and they say if there's a valid reason for that, then it may be applied. If there's a valid reason. Like, you know, the woman cannot handle too many children, she's getting tired, or her body's too weak, or something along these lines. But not, if the fear is we cannot spend on them, we're not rich enough, then this is haram. Because Allah promised in the Quran, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We will provide them and yourself. Another ayah, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. We will provide you and them. And Allah promised that everyone will be provided. In fact, usually every time a child comes, along with them comes his sustenance and extra money for the father. This is known and witnessed. I fear from making love before marriage. My mother has told me she shall not get married now. She shall not get me married now unless I get a high paid job. My father has told me to have a girlfriend. MashaAllah. Could you please give me some advice, Shaykh, as I feel my desires will get control over me? Well, you definitely don't take your father's advice. May Allah guide him. It's very sad to know that this is the advice he has. Ma'alish. May Allah forgive him. You do not take a girlfriend, akhi. And that is how you avoid falling into haram. As for what your mom have said, you know, why the highly paying job? Why don't you just get a job which will help you afford get married? And if that's what it is, akhi, if I were you, I would strive day and night to get that high paying job so I can get married. You know, strive towards that. Allah al-musta'an, wallah, Allah al-musta'an. I'm a young woman who's ready to get married. However, I have no idea how to go about this without doing haram. Meaning getting to know a male on a personal, friendly, boyfriend level. What would you suggest? I would suggest that you fear Allah. I would suggest that you fear Allah Azza wa Jal. How could you not be able to do something except what Allah prohibited? Because when we say that, we're saying that Allah did not give us solutions. He only gave us, you know, complications. That's what we're saying. No, this is incorrect thinking, sister. This is an incorrect way of thinking. Rather, the best way to get married is when you do the halal thing. Because when you do the haram, Allah will extract blessing from your life and from your marriage, and it will be nothing but failure upon failure and darkness upon darkness. So you must go the halal way. If there's a brother who's interested in you, you have parents, he speaks to them. If your parents are non-Muslims, then he speaks to your wali, your wakil, your guardian, your representative from the Imam of the Masjid, whoever it is responsible for you, and they go through the normal Islamic procedure to get married. But to go out with him and try each other out and enjoy yourselves like couples and like married people, and then turn out that he's not the right one for you, and you think you're not the right one for him, after what? After zina is committed and Allah's rights are violated and the dignity has been thrown in the trash? This is the solution? La wallah, this is not a solution. This is destruction. Fear Allah. Fear Allah and follow the halal way. Allah will bless your marriage and will grant you success. If you go against His rules, you will never be successful. You will never ever prosper. Okay guys, we're beyond the time. I told my parents what you said, and they say that Imam Shafi'i's fatwa, we follow the ruling which says we can combine our prayers in the duration of our travel. Something like that. What do I say? And no, the mosque having the mic inside so I can't hear it, but I go there every salah. What should I do? If you go there every salah, then you pray with the Imam. That's the big deal. If you go there every salah, then you're going to pray with the Imam. He's not going to combine anything. If your parents are following the Imam Shafi'i, that's their business. You go to the masjid and you pray the regular salah behind the Imam. Nah. Okay, we're done. Really. I have to make an important phone call. Last one. Okay, Tfaddal, go ahead. Assalamu alaikum. Do women need to wear a niqab, or is it just okay to wear the hijab like the Indonesian women wearing? The wearing the niqab is not obligatory, but it is highly recommended. It is not obligatory, but it is highly recommended. Now let me point out something which I've seen from our Indonesian sisters. Usually, not all of them, I'm not generalizing, but the ones which are here in the kingdom, even though they cover their heads, Jazakumullah khair, but they usually wear pants and, you know, regular shirts. So if you mean that by Indonesian hijab, that whole outfit, then this is not allowed. Or if you mean only the top part, then that's fine, yes. But the body must be covered. However, I do recommend I do recommend that all sisters do wear the niqab, because it is more rewarding, more pleasing to Allah and closer to protecting his sister from falling into evil or from people harassing her. This is an advice, not an obligation, but it is an advice for the sisters to wear the niqab. It is better for them, inshallah ta'ala. And with this we conclude our dars. As I said before you leave, before you start leaving, there will be no classes probably for the whole month of Sha'ban. There's a possibility we will have classes depending on whether I find internet access in that place I'm going to. So if I find internet access, then we will have the class. If no, then no. Definitely Friday I will not be able to have the classes, definitely. But Tuesday classes we will see, inshallah. The Tuesday classes we will see, inshallah. So you log in next Tuesday and see. If we're having our class at the usual time, alhamdulillah. If not, don't be upset with me. It is beyond my control. And we will catch up with each other, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. If anything, if we all remain alive and healthy. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.